You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of New Hampshire primary interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. Excited to welcome back to the show Congressman John Delaney, back in the Granite State campaigning. Over the last 3 days, wraps up his time in the Granite State today and announced a new National Service and Climate Corps plan at Concord High School this past weekend. Congressman Delaney, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Before we get into the policy initiative, I want us to get your sense of what folks are most interested in. As you talk with folks at the coffee shops, at the breakfasts, at the town hall meetings, and obviously it varies from audience to audience, but is there a particular theme that you are sensing from individuals that come to your events?
Yeah, I would say the overarching theme is how frustrated people are with politics, and they feel like nothing gets done, and most elected officials just spending all their time fighting with each other and not engaging in what I call the politics of progress, which is actually rolling up your sleeves and finding common ground and getting things done and trying to improve people's lives. They're very frustrated by that. A lot of Democratic primary voters are obviously almost have a singular focus on beating Trump as their number one criteria for this election coming up. But in terms of a theme that I think unifies Democrats, Republicans, Independents, is just the dysfunctional nature of the federal government and how we don't have leaders who actually try to find common ground and get things done.
Why do you feel that that is? Because obviously, in election after election, that is a dominating theme. And the individual that gets the vote and support of the New Hampshire voter is generally one that pledges to change that environment, to change that culture. And, anecdotally speaking, it seems like things are kind of getting worse, and that there's a benefit to inaction and finger pointing, and both a financial and a re-election benefit to that.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, Chris, we've got some bad incentives right now, which is that if you're a candidate and you run on division, you tend to excite a lot of interest in social media and the Twitter world and that kind of stuff. And if you're running on problem solving and solutions, while most of the American people are interested in that, that doesn't sell quite as well with the activists on either side of the aisle. So I think basically what has to happen is the center's got to take the country back. For too long this country has been held hostage by the extremes in each party, and I just think it's got to stop.
I've been thinking about over the last couple of days a conversation I had with John Kasich that was off air, but was one that I think is significant in this moment, in that, during the primary, individuals were engaging with Donald Trump, and that was kind of a way to draw attention. And he, said continuously that, I can't do that. That's not who I am, and I want to run the campaign that I'm going to run, and if I'm going to lose as a result of that, I'm going to lose. I'm going to be happy with the campaign that I ran. And, he's like, if you want red meat, I could throw red meat out there, but I have a conscience. And, just making claims and saying things in order to get attention and just to say those things and know that I can't actually deliver on them and to make promises and to highlight division, it's just not something that I'm comfortable doing. And I'm curious from your standpoint, as an individual that is investing a significant amount of your own capital, has been at this for a long period of time, is there a frustration in that you're trying to run the campaign that you want to run, but you look at the media environment and you see how it works, and you're like, okay, if I just did this, or if I focused on this, then I'm going to be moving away from my core values, but this is what I need to do in order to generate more attention.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a frustration. The extent of a frustration, it's with how politics has failed the American people. People often ask me, okay, what gets what gets me mad. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what gets me mad is just how the political system has failed the American people. I mean, politics in this country used to be about a way of organizing ourselves so that we could have a battle of ideas, then ultimately find common ground, and then get a few things done.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it's become a way to, it's become a platform to emphasize our division,
mm-hmm.
and increasingly to entertain us. And what really angers me is that a lot of people are paying the price because of this. And most significantly, you know, the next generation, my kids, your kids, everyone's children out there, are paying a huge price because the political system has failed to get the basic things done we should have done. You know, I used to say in business, the cost of doing nothing is not nothing. And we've paid a huge price as a country because we really failed to do the basic things in public education, in tax policy, in health care, you know, and you know, climate, in a number of areas that were pretty obvious, and that there is still an opportunity to find, you know, bipartisan support for. And in many ways, you know, that's entirely what my candidacy is about, which is a bunch of new ideas that I think can get broad support and get done. And I'd be very happy to finish my term as president, having accomplished a huge number of things, and have gotten no credit for them, because mm-hmm. all I want to do is get things done, and I don't really care who gets the credit. And I just think that's where the American people ultimately are. I have enormous faith in the American people. I think they're going to come around to this way of thinking because they're increasingly frustrated with politics. But, you know, there is a lot of distractions right now in politics.
So I think your analysis there is spot on. It's John Delaney joining us here on the program, a former congressman from Maryland, wrapping up his trip through the Granite State. And this weekend, you were at Concord High School and unveiled a new national service plan for young people. It has some key parts, a community service component similar to AmeriCorps, infrastructure apprenticeships, as well as the Climate Corps. Individuals who participate in the apprenticeship program receive certification. So take us through how this would work and what you hope to gain from this type of proposal.
Sure. And, you know, in many ways, what I hope to gain it ties exactly into what we were talking about, which is I think a president should really be affirmatively doing things to bring the country together, and I think national service mm-hmm. can do that. So the program is designed for high school grads. Every high school grad would have an opportunity to serve the country, but not an obligation. It's not a mandatory program. And I want to make it so exciting that they all want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide to do it, they have to pick four things. They could either go to the military, they could do a variety of different types of community service, like AmeriCorps, as you said. They could do infrastructure, rebuilding national parks, that kind of stuff. Or they could become part of the Climate Corps, which will be young people going around to communities and helping citizens and communities adapt for a more sustainable world. And, you know, they'd be mixed with kids from all over the country. So, you know, a kid from Concord would get mixed with or roomed with a kid from Seattle, and they'd go to New Orleans to rebuild a national park. You know, I think it would be enormously beneficial to these kids because they'd have an opportunity to meet people who were very different than them in some respects. We would offer them a scholarship as part of it that they could use if they decide to go to college. To the extent they don't go to college, but they work on the infrastructure of the Climate Corps program, they would likely get a certificate, so they would have leadership for being a carpenter or a welder or something like that. And I just think it would be beneficial to every single citizen in this country to have a national service program. Obviously for the kids who participate, but I think for all Americans, we would do something positive again. And I think it would be reaffirming to this notion that we're all in this together.
I love this concept. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the need for us to find more proposals and concepts that bring us together. I've been a proponent of the president's plan, actually, to have us go back to the moon and to reinvest in the space program. I think we need a focus on eradicating disease, and that if we were able to take our type
and hunger
and hunger, yeah, and these are common goals,
yes.
Common enemies. Instead of focusing on, you know, parsing words that a, you know, representative like Representative Omar made, and I've said I think that she was careless in how she categorized 9/11, and that was wrong. But to make a huge deal out of that and to focus our energy on division, as opposed to saying, no matter who we are, we have a common goal to bring this country together via service, via eradicating disease and hunger. And imagine if we spent the amount of time, energy, and capital on these types of things as opposed to dividing one another.
I agree. I mean, this notion of common purpose, I think, is the beating heart of this country.
Yeah.
And I personally think it's worth fighting for every day. And the way, yeah, I agree entirely with the way you just articulated that, because I think you said it very well. And that's what, and you know, the funny thing is, Chris, most Americans want that. And that's why I know this sounds harsh, but I really think we've allowed the extremists to hold this country hostage,
because
it's not really what we want. So why do we let them do it?
That's a really, I mean, that's the driving point here is that I don't know why it is, but I am an independent centrist, and I'm pretty vociferous in regards to what I believe, but I feel that most individuals in the middle are laid back and just kind of let things happen and vote in the elections. And the extremists, and I think that this is the case in, you look at sports as an example. I mean, there's a person that watches every single game and loves the Red Sox, but doesn't wear Red Sox apparel to the game and just kind of sits there and watches. And then there's the fanatic who wears Red Sox underpants and has everything all over their house, and they yell the loudest. One person may be the guy who sits there and doesn't have the Red Sox apparel may know more about the team than the other guy. But the other guy is the louder one, and therefore he is seen to be the bigger fan. And that is where our politics is right now. We're focusing on
that's a really good analogy. Yeah. I never thought of that. I like that, actually.
And that's where we are right now. And I don't know what it's going to take to engage the middle, because the middle doesn't have a place right now. And the fact of the matter is, the middle is the larger percentage. The middle should be in control. The middle still has the numbers, but the fringe on the right and the fringe on the left have taken control. So how do you, and this is obviously key to your candidacy as well, how do you engage the middle? And if the middle is not looking at the country and concerned or angry, what is it going to take in order to get them to become active?
Well, you know, again, I would never bet against the American people. And so I think ultimately the American people are going to figure out what you and I are talking about and take back their democracy. Because, as you said, this is either a center-left or center-right country, depending upon the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I personally think this 2020 election opportunity is a great opportunity for my party, the Democratic Party, to do that. Because we are very motivated in our opposition to Donald Trump winning re-election. And I think it's pretty obvious that if we want to defeat President Trump in 2020, we have to run a moderate. I mean, that's as obvious to me as anything. And so I think in some ways the 2020 election is an opportunity, because the Democratic Party, if it wants to win in 2020, has to put up a centrist candidate. And that could be the break that the country's looking for. In a funny way, President Trump may actually create the environment where a centrist can actually lead one of the major parties.
That is Congressman John Delaney joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as New England College. This segment of the program presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli. Final couple things before we let you go. And when you look at the field, Joe Biden is expected to get in. I'm reporting he's going to get in right after Easter and make an official announcement. But outside of him, is it basically him and you that you see as the centrists and the moderates, or is there any other candidates?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, listen, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin. In other words, I'm pretty comfortable, like I am with you on the show, saying I'm a more moderate centrist candidate, a solutions-oriented candidate. You know, I think the things I'm fighting for line up perfectly with what progressives in my party care about, but the way I get them done is by finding common ground. I'm, you know, again, I as I said earlier, I believe in the politics of progress. And so, you know, I think that is unique in the field, and I think that's what I have to offer. I think it's not only the best way to win, but I think it's the best way to govern.
there's so many things that take place on a day in, day out basis that you know, I understand at times why people don't get perhaps as outraged as they should. But in conclusion here, I want to talk to you about President Trump's plan on immigration, where he and his administration reached out to ICE and wanted to take detainees and put them in sanctuary cities across our country. And there's so many things wrong with this, but we'll just start with the most basic element. And that is the fact that the president has been selling to the American people, and this should alarm his voters in particular, but that he has been telling people that there is a crisis at the border, that there is, in his words, dangerous people that are trying to come across the border. And his solution is to take the dangerous people and that he is categorizing as such, and to place them in American cities as a political retribution. I mean, you think about Bridgegate and the amount of focus there was on that, and rightfully so, in regards to Chris Christie. And so in order to gain retribution or respond, he wants to put... I don't understand why there's not more outrage in regards to that.
Well, part of it is he's probably just, you know, we're all kind of been dulled because he does one of these things almost every other week. I mean, this is an enormously petty thing that he's doing, right? It's damaging to the country, and it reflects, in my opinion, a real lack of a moral compass. And it shines a spotlight on this view that I have is that he's a narcissist, and he only cares about himself. And he will use whatever he needs to use that is, you know, central to this country for his own self-interest. An immigration policy which should be reformed, he should be championing bipartisan immigration reform, the kind of bill that almost passed in 2013 and would have fundamentally fixed our immigration system. He should be using his political capital to champion that. Instead, he's using the institutions of immigration in our society to score political points. It's outrageous.
Well, Congressman Delaney, as always, appreciate you joining us for the program, and look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You as well. That is John Delaney here on Hampshire Now, 159-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. Always enjoy talking with Congressman Delaney. He is a individual who is of great substance and an important candidate in this race. This is New Hampshire Now, 159-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour, the program is presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And that segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.